I was dating someone. It ended badly. He was my first. I loved him. And then he...
changed.
Yeah.
He got mean.
Yes.
And you didn't stop loving him.
Okay, that's from Buffy. Have you had that experience in your own life where you dated someone, maybe you're even married now, but you can flash back to your dating years, and you fell in love with someone. Maybe it was your first love, the first person that you had sex with, and the person was so nice to you. You felt so incredibly visible. You felt so loved, so cared for, so important, and that feeling had a wonderful, it was packaged away in your mind as a powerful emotion that was inextricably linked to that person that you loved. And then that person turned mean. Who wants to let go of those really good feelings? And if that person came to represent the good feelings, they represent the bad ones too, it's hard for any of us to hold the full picture when, at the times when you want to, hold those dreamy feelings that you had. And that's exactly what you need to do. You have to keep the full context. You need to, because this person can hurt you. If the person turned mean, they're not good for your life. You're not going to feel cared for and valued. You will feel invisible around them, or worse, you will feel despised by them, put down. Many abuse victims I like to think of them more as abuse survivors of it, not victims for life. But people who've been abused, you know, initially get love bombed by the mean people in their lives, whether it's a man or a woman. Typically, it's the man that's the abusive partner. You got to get out of these relationships. They really stink. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. I can help you out of them. You can give me a call anytime, toll free, 1-877-DRKENNER. Again, if you're listening to a delayed broadcast, you can call me and ask me your question live. Again, it's toll free, 1-877-DRKENNER. Now, right before the break, I was answering a woman who had called up saying that her 13-year-old son's absolutely driving her crazy. It's a sibling rivalry issue. And I want to mention a book. The book that you've got to pick up ASAP if you want out of this situation is Siblings Without Rivalry. It's on my website, drkenner.com, drkenner.com. And the book is by Adele Faber and Elaine Maslisch. Again, it's on my website, drkenner.com. And what these authors give you are tons of very simple methods so that your role in the sibling rivalry, I know most parents will say, I don't do anything. Think again, you may be very surprised at how powerful you can be in changing the situation, which means that you're powerful in causing it too. Kids vie for their parents' attention, and if you're the mom, they're vying for your attention. They feel envious of the other siblings' accomplishments and their own lack of accomplishments or personal frustrations, and they take it out on the other sibling. If they're frustrated with you, they can take it out on the other sibling. If they feel any favoritism, they take it out on the other sibling. If they start to feel worth less than the other sibling or worthless, then they take it out on you and the other sibling. So you need to break that pattern. I gave you a method right before the break. You can help kids identify their feelings in words. You've got to stop hurtful actions. And from this book that I mentioned, you need to say something like, stop it. Your sister is not for hitting. People are not for hitting. Show her in words. You've been able to do this before. Tell her in words that I don't like it when you go into my bedroom and go through my things. You know, tell her in words. You help kid. You stop the negative behavior, and you then help the kid learn how to assertively express very negative feelings, very powerful anger, rage, hurtful feelings, even guilt. So I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. And right now we are going to turn to another after-hours call. This is one that I'm not an expert on, but I will give you what I do know about this. This is on electroshock therapy for depression.
I wanted Dr. Kenner's opinion about electroshock therapy for depression, what her opinion is.
Okay. When I say I'm not an expert, I don't do the electric shock therapy. I worked in a psychiatric hospital where it was done, I wouldn't say frequently, but it was done weekly. And I guess that's frequently to different people, obviously. And I saw the results of it. I saw the people before and after. And I will tell you, their brains looked fried. It looked like they didn't have the same emotional capacity before and after. They had a lot of amnesia. Now, a little later on, that can change for some individuals, but you're playing with your brain. Your brain is your motor for life. So I would say that electric shock therapy, electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, is a very, very last resort. If somebody has been chronically suicidal for decades and they're hell-bent on doing it, and they're emotionally dead, then you want to be able to try to still rescue them. And I know people are desperate, and sometimes it can shake someone out of a depression, but there's so many better methods. And the better methods are, one of them is cognitive behavioral therapy, which is not just, talking on the surface about things, which sometimes it's falsely portrayed as, but you try to help people reconnect with their desire to live. They may have I work with several people. One of the things that I saw with these people who were chronically suicidal or chronically emotionally dead, some of them had totally flat affect, big word for it, no emotions. You know, you could dance in front of them. You could do a strip tease in front of them. You could sing. You could get angry with them, and they just don't care. They're totally indifferent to life, and they've deadened their emotions. Total repression. So you think. But I can remember talking with these individuals and saying, tell me a little bit about your past. Tell me when was your best time? And they start talking about work, and the emotions start to come back, and they get angry at me because I've reawakened their capacity to live, their emotional life. But they're also, they have a running chance again. Now, that's a dangerous period of time because they also have more energy to act on their suicidal ideation. So you have to monitor that period carefully and help them through it. But people have even sent me flowers saying, I was going to kill myself and I didn't. And thank you so much for saving me. So you want to be able to be so, you don't want to rush into ECT. I say it's absolutely, absolutely last resort. Absolutely try cognitive behavioral therapy first. A really good organized cognitive behavioral therapy who can help the person make sense of what emotions are, where they come from, how to introspect, how to identify any unearned guilt in their life and get rid of it, how to deal with earned guilt, how to set realistic goals and move forward in their lives. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. And coming up, we've got what I talked about earlier, alien abductions. What's a rational spin on alien abductions? Or I wouldn't call it a spin, a rational evaluation of alien abductions. Do you know anybody in your life who goes to astrologers, likes tarot cards and all the rest, all of that stuff? I call it stuff. What's your take on that? And if you're angry with me, if you say, oh no, that stuff really works, give me a call, toll free, 1-877-DR-KENNER on the Rational Basis of Happiness. Also coming up, we have Jean Maroney-Binswanger, who will be talking about how to use your mind better, how to tackle hard thinking, all on the Rational Basis of Happiness. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner.
People want to be loved for specific reasons. It's up to each partner to identify why they love the other and to say so. This last point raises a new question. Granted that love has causes, will just any cause do? No. Does it matter which traits you value? And on the other side of the coin, which traits you possess? Yes, there are very personal causal factors involved in love, but certain core traits are required to make any romantic relationship successful in the long run. If you want to be loved, you have to do things to make yourself lovable. Egoistic love, the only real kind of love, is not a selfless gift. It is a trade, which means it has to be earned.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.